Ever feel like you're trapped in a cycle of failed resolutions? You're not alone. According to research, 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. Yet Katie Milkman, the James G. Dinan professor at Wharton and host of the popular Choiceology podcast, argues that this statistic shouldn't discourage us. Even with that failure rate, millions of people successfully transform their lives each year. The key isn't trying harder with generic strategies, but understanding the specific obstacles blocking your path to change. In her groundbreaking book, Milkman draws from her work with organizations like Google, Walmart, and the Department of Defense to reveal a revolutionary approach to behavior change. Rather than applying one-size-fits-all solutions, she advocates for identifying your unique internal obstacles and deploying scientifically proven techniques tailored to overcome them. This approach has helped universities boost student achievement, medical practices reduce unnecessary prescriptions, and employers improve benefits enrollment. Beloved by leaders like Angela Duckworth and featured in The Washington Post and Scientific American, Milkman's fresh perspective offers hope to anyone who has ever struggled to make lasting changes. When visiting Google's impressive headquarters in 2012, I wondered what such a successful company could possibly need from academics. Despite Google's $38 billion in revenue the previous year, they faced challenges helping employees make better decisions about their benefits. Prasad Sethi, a Google VP, asked me a crucial question: when should they encourage employees to take advantage of underutilized programs designed to improve their lives? This seemingly simple question about timing would lead to one of my most significant discoveries. The remarkable success of the Back to Sleep campaign against SIDS offers valuable insights about timing and behavior change. When researchers discovered that policing babies on their backs halved SIDS deaths, the US government launched an education campaign that quadrupled the percentage of infants sleeping on their backs, from 17% to 73%, and dramatically reduced fatalities. Why did this campaign succeed when so many public health initiatives fail? New parenthood represents one of life's starkest turning points, a true blank slate with no established habits to break. This insight led my research team to explore whether people might be more receptive to change during moments that feel like fresh starts. Our research confirmed this pattern across multiple datasets. People are more likely to pursue goals at temporal landmarks: New Year's, Mondays, after holidays, at semester starts, and following birthdays. These fresh start moments help us feel psychologically distanced from past failures, creating a sense of being a different person with reason for optimism. Fresh starts aren't limited to calendar dates. Life events can create even more powerful opportunities for change, as with Bob Pass, a miserable government attorney who had a life-altering realization during a serious illness. His brush with mortality provided the perspective he needed to quit law and pursue his passion for teaching tennis. Research confirms that physical transitions, like moving homes, significantly increase the likelihood of successful life changes. One study found that 36% of successful change attempts occurred after relocating, compared to only 13% of unsuccessful attempts. However, fresh starts aren't universally beneficial. When Major League Baseball players were traded between leagues, receiving a statistical reset, underperforming players saw performance improvements compared to those traded within leagues. However, high-performing players actually suffered from these resets. This reveals an important caveat. When you're on a roll, disruptions can derail your momentum. To increase your chances of successful change, actively seek fresh start opportunities. Birthdays, season changes, Mondays, or physical circumstance changes like working in a new location. Consider resetting how you track progress, perhaps breaking yearly goals into monthly targets. Just remember to avoid disrupting routines that are already working well. Stockholm's Odenplan metro station underwent a remarkable transformation in 2009 when Volkswagen-funded technicians converted an ordinary staircase into giant working piano keys. This creative intervention turned a mundane commute into a playful experience, resulting in 66% more people choosing the stairs over the escalator. The installation brilliantly addresses one of the biggest barriers to behavior change, our tendency to choose immediately gratifying options, like taking the escalator, over choices that benefit us long-term, like climbing stairs. This insight connects to Mary Poppins' famous wisdom that a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Research by psychologists Fishback and Woolley confirms that most people mistakenly focus on long-term benefits when pursuing goals rather than making activities enjoyable in the moment. Their studies showed that encouraging people to find fun in healthy activities led to substantially better results, similar to Stockholm's piano staircase. As a graduate student facing dual challenges, avoiding exercise and procrastinating on schoolwork by reading novels, I had an epiphany. What if I only allowed myself to read page turners while working out? This temptation bundling strategy would simultaneously solve both problems. I tested this concept scientifically at Penn, loaning participants iPods with tempting audiobooks they could only access while at the gym. The results were striking. Participants with bundled temptations exercised 55% more than the control group for 7 weeks, with the busiest people benefiting most. Gamification, making non-game activities more engaging by adding game-like elements, offers another powerful approach. When economist John Agalis tackled Wikipedia's problem of losing top volunteer editors by testing whether recognition could motivate unpaid contributors, she found that volunteers who received symbolic stars were 20% more likely to continue volunteering the following month and 13% more likely to remain active a year later. When people voluntarily embrace gamification, the results can be transformative. Nancy Strahl, paralyzed by a stroke and told she'd never walk again, recovered through a gamified rehabilitation program called Recovery Rapids that transformed tedious exercises into an engaging virtual kayaking adventure. Her remarkable recovery led to walking, driving, and even dancing at her son's wedding. The key difference between successful gamification and failed attempts is voluntary participation. People must enter the magic circle willingly. Companies can leverage this principle by making workplaces themselves more appealing, as seen with Google's resort-like offices, Asana's personal workspace budgets, and the farmer's dog's canine employees. Mary Poppins' wisdom remains relevant. Acknowledging that beneficial activities aren't inherently enjoyable allows us to strategically bundle them with pleasure, making change not just possible, but sustainable. When MIT professor Dan Ariely noticed his brilliant students consistently procrastinating on assignments, he conducted an experiment with 99 students who needed to complete 3 papers. Half received evenly spaced deadlines throughout the term, while the other half could choose their own deadlines or wait until the end of class to submit all papers. Surprisingly, 68% of students voluntarily chose restrictive deadlines with penalties for lateness, violating economic theory's assumption that people always prefer freedom and flexibility. History provides numerous examples of self-imposed constraints to resist temptation, from Odysseus binding himself to his ship's mast to avoid the siren song, to Victor Hugo locking away his clothes to force himself to complete The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Economist Robert Strautz first documented this phenomenon in 1955, noting people's tendency to use commitment devices, deliberate restrictions on one's own freedom, to achieve greater goals. Commitment devices can deliver remarkable results. In the Philippines, locked savings accounts helped customers save 80% more over a year compared to the control group, despite only 28% of eligible customers opening such accounts. Similarly, MIT students who could self-impose deadlines with penalties produced work with 50% fewer errors than those facing only a final deadline. Cash commitment devices offer a versatile solution, putting money on the line that you forfeit if you fail to meet your goals. Nick Winter exemplifies this approach, risking $14,000 if he didn't write a book and go skydiving within 3 months. Despite his fear of heights, he accomplished both goals. Studies show cash commitments help smokers quit, gym-goers exercise more, and dieters lose weight, though only a small percentage of people are willing to risk their money this way. For those uncomfortable with financial penalties, soft commitments offer an effective alternative. Unlike hard commitments with concrete costs, soft commitments carry only psychological penalties for failure. The spectrum ranges from soft penalties, public goal announcements, to hard penalties, cash forfeiture, and from soft restrictions, using smaller plates, to hard restrictions, locked savings accounts. Despite the proven effectiveness of commitment devices, they remain surprisingly unpopular. When offered locked savings accounts at Greenbank, 72% of customers declined, and 89% of smokers refused commitment accounts to help them quit. This paradox exists because there are two types of people: sophisticates, who recognize their self-control limitations and seek tools to overcome them, and naives, who overestimate their willpower. The key is finding the right balance. Penalties must be significant enough to motivate, but not so severe they become self-defeating. By acknowledging our tendency to procrastinate and strategically limiting our future choices, we can overcome one of the most common barriers to positive change. In the lead-up to the 2008 presidential election, Todd Rogers discovered a disturbing pattern. 54% of registered voters who told pollsters they intended to vote ultimately flaked out. This phenomenon mirrored what Prashant from Avive Health observed with flu shots. Only 30% of employees followed through on getting vaccinated despite personalized reminders. The puzzle was the same. Why do so many people fail to follow through on their stated intentions? Forgetting is the most common explanation would-be voters give for not showing up at the polls, and it's a more serious culprit than many realize. The average adult forgets three things daily, from PIN numbers to chores to anniversaries. Herman Ebbinghaus demonstrated how quickly humans forget with his classic 1885 study, showing we forget nearly half of learned information within 20 minutes, 70% within 24 hours, and 80% after a month. In search of a solution, Todd discovered Peter Gulwitzer's research on implementation intentions. This technique involves making a plan linked to a specific cue that reminds you to act, essentially filling in the blanks in when blank happens, I'll do blank. The more detailed and specific the plan, the more effective it becomes. Like, every Tuesday and Thursday, right after work, I'll exercise and I'll take the number 17 bus to the YMCA on Main Street, rather than just, I'll exercise more. When creating effective memory cues, distinctiveness matters significantly. In an experiment at a Harvard Square cafe, customers who were instructed to look for an unusual cue, a three-eyed alien toy from Toy Story, were 36% more likely to redeem their coupons than those told to look for an ordinary cash register. Todd Rogers applied cue-based planning to tackle voter turnout, transforming standard get-out-the-vote calls into more effective interventions. Rather than simply urging registered voters to show up, his team developed planning prompts that asked three specific questions. What time do you expect you'll head to the polls? Where do you expect you'll be coming from? And what do you think you'll be doing before you head out? Testing this approach with nearly 40,000 registered voters revealed that these planning prompts increased turnout by 9% among those who received calls. Our planning prompt study with Avive Health showed similar success. Recipients were encouraged to write down when they plan to get their flu shot at workplace clinics, though they weren't actually scheduling appointments or communicating these plans to anyone. This simple intervention led to a 13% increase in vaccinations. Beyond preventing forgetting, planning forces you to break big goals into manageable chunks, a critical step for making progress on ambitious projects. Just as NASA engineers had to break down the moon landing into specific sub-goals, personal goals like earn a promotion require breaking down into concrete actions like improving communication with your boss and dedicating specific evenings to study. To create your own cue-based plans, consider the how, when, and where of your intended action. Choose distinctive cues that are out of the ordinary, schedule timely reminders that appear exactly when you need to act, and develop checklists for more complex plans. Just be careful not to overdo it. Having two men competing plans can be overwhelming and diminish your commitment. Laziness, widely viewed as a vice to overcome, can actually be a powerful tool for behavior change. While our tendency to take the path of least resistance can work against us when trying to develop new habits like studying instead of watching Netflix, it also prevents us from wasting time and energy. Herbert Simon, the 1978 Nobel laureate in economics, points out that taking shortcuts is exactly what the best computer algorithms do to conserve processing power. Penn Medicine's remarkable success with generic prescriptions came from leveraging people's tendency to take the path of least resistance. During a routine system upgrade, an IT consultant made a small but powerful change to the prescription interface, adding a checkbox that required physicians to actively select if they wanted brand-name drugs instead of generics. Since doctors, like most people, tend toward efficiency, they rarely checked the box, only 2% of the time, instantly boosting the generic prescription rate to 98% and saving millions of dollars. When defaults can't be changed and we face repeated decisions, developing good habits becomes crucial. Habits, behaviors repeated so often they become automatic, allow us to act effectively without conscious processing. Neuroscience shows that as habits develop, we rely less on reasoning parts of the brain and more on areas responsible for action and motor control. Habits develop through consistent repetition in stable environments with some form of reward. Classic experiments by B.F. Skinner show that animals develop habitual responses when behaviors are consistently rewarded, and these behaviors persist even after rewards stop. More recent economic studies demonstrated this with college students who were paid to visit the gym 8 times in a month. Even after payments ended, these students continued exercising at twice the rate of control groups, showing how temporary incentives can create lasting habits. While forming habits is valuable, adopting new ones isn't simple. Milkman and Harvard professor John Beshears tested habit formation at Google's corporate gyms, expecting to find that consistent routines would build stronger habits. Surprisingly, their research revealed that people encouraged to exercise at the same time daily, dubbed rigid Rachels, became inflexible. If they couldn't make their regular time, they wouldn't exercise at all. Meanwhile, those encouraged to exercise flexibly, flexible Fernandos, developed more robust habits, learning to adapt when circumstances changed. Benjamin Franklin, despite his early years as a philandering wastrel in London, transformed himself through a systematic approach to habit formation. During a lengthy voyage back to Philadelphia, he developed a strategy to cultivate 13 virtues by tracking his daily successes and failures with charts, marking failures with black marks, and leaving successes blank. Similarly, comedian Jerry Seinfeld follows a comparable philosophy centuries later, committing to writing a new joke every day and tracking his progress with the motto, "Don't break the streak." By understanding how laziness works, we can transform it from an obstacle into an asset for change. We can strategically set defaults to make laziness work for us, build flexibility into routines to create adaptable autopilot responses, track our behavior to avoid forgetting and ensure accountability, aim for unbroken streaks to prevent habit disruption, and piggyback new habits onto existing ones by linking desired behaviors with already established routines. The author explores how giving advice rather than receiving it can boost confidence and motivation. Lauren S. Crace Winkler discovered that people with lower confidence make less progress toward goals, but asking struggling individuals to give advice rather than receive it can significantly improve their performance. In a large experiment with Florida high school students, those who spent just 10 minutes giving study advice to younger peers saw improved grades. The saying is believing effect explains why giving advice helps us follow our own guidance. We feel hypocritical if we don't practice what we preach. Drummer Mike Mangini attributes his career success partly to being asked to teach others, which boosted his confidence. The author suggests creating advice clubs where peers help each other make decisions, as she did with her No Club, to help decline time-consuming commitments. Our expectations profoundly shape our outcomes. In a remarkable study, hotel housekeepers who were simply informed that their work constituted good exercise lost weight and lowered their blood pressure over 4 weeks without changing their routines. This demonstrates how our beliefs affect our reality. The housekeepers likely approached their tasks with more vigor once they viewed them as beneficial exercise. When pursuing goals, small failures can trigger the what the hell effect, where minor slips lead to complete abandonment of our efforts. My colleague Marissa Sharif developed a clever solution, allowing herself 2 emergency skips per week for her daily running routine. When tested in a research study with participants completing online tasks, people given mulligans for missed days significantly outperformed those with either strict daily requirements or more relaxed goals. Beyond building in allowances for emergencies, how we interpret failure matters tremendously. Carol Dweck's research shows that a growth mindset, believing abilities can improve through effort, predicts success, while fixed mindsets lead to defeatism. Encouragingly, we can learn to view setbacks as opportunities rather than reflections of innate limitations, as demonstrated by interventions with students that improved academic performance and course selection. While overconfidence is often criticized as a problematic bias, believing in yourself is crucial when pursuing ambitious goals. Underconfidence can only stymie success. We should surround ourselves with people who believe in our potential and support our growth. Lauren S. Kreis-Winkler's research shows that unsolicited advice can undermine confidence, implying someone lacks ability, while asking for advice boosts it, conveying trust in their capabilities. Even how we compliment matters. Praising natural talent fosters a fixed mindset, while acknowledging effort and improvement encourages resilience. By cultivating supportive relationships, positioning ourselves as advice givers, forgiving small failures, and viewing setbacks as growth opportunities, we can overcome self-doubt and build the confidence necessary for lasting change.
Every February, I conduct a social experiment in my Wharton MBA class, where I email all but three students to applaud when seeing the dean's photo. The uninformed students invariably join in the clapping, demonstrating how we conform to avoid feeling like misfits and because we assume others have information we lack. This powerful social influence explains why Scott Carell studied how randomly assigned squadron mates affected cadets' performance at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Analyzing data from 3,500 dualies, he found that for every 100-point increase in squadron mates' average verbal SAT scores, a cadet's first-year GPA rose by 0.4 points, potentially explaining why his twin brother outperformed him despite Scott having been the better student in high school. When Cassie Brabal became a resident advisor at Syracuse University, she found herself training alongside five vegetarians. Though she'd been intrigued by vegetarianism but never thought she could manage it, watching these peers create delicious, varied meals showed her it was possible. By copying their strategies, eating veggie omelets, black bean soup, and risotto, she successfully transitioned to a meatless diet for 4 years. This copy-and-paste approach works because it allows us to emulate successful strategies we observe in others. Hotels that encourage towel reuse provide a perfect case study in using social norms to influence behavior. When signs simply requested reuse to save water, many guests declined. But when psychologists revised the messaging to state 75% of guests typically use their towels more than once, towel reuse increased by 18%. Even more impressively, telling guests that most people who stayed in their specific room reused towels boosted compliance by 33%. However, when Scott Carell tried to help struggling Air Force Academy cadets by deliberately grouping low verbal SAT performers with high performers, his well-intentioned plan backfired dramatically. Instead of the positive peer influence he expected, the squadrons became polarized, with students segregating themselves and struggling students performing even worse than with random assignments. This failure reveals a crucial insight. Social influence tactics can backfire when there's too stark a difference between overachievers and those needing improvement. The pressure of being watched and judged can significantly alter our behavior, sometimes driving positive change. When 20,000 Michigan residents received letters showing their personal voting records alongside their neighbors, promising to release updated information after the upcoming election, voter turnout increased by an astounding 8.1 percentage points. This accountability tactic works like parents using Santa's omniscience to encourage good behavior in children, but can create backlash when used coercively. Even when good behaviors aren't yet popular, highlighting upward trends can be effective. Showing that enrollment in a program has doubled signals that the behavior will eventually become mainstream. For personal change, surrounding yourself with successful role models is powerful. If training for a marathon, connect with experienced runners who can guide and hold you accountable. The obstacles to change, impulsivity, procrastination, forgetfulness, confidence, and laziness, are like chronic conditions requiring ongoing treatment rather than one-time interventions. An O-Power study where households receiving energy usage reports compared to neighbors reduced consumption showed that when reports stopped, conservation efforts decayed 10-20% annually despite 2 years of habit formation. The key insight? Treat change as a chronic challenge rather than a temporary one. My student Karen Herrera maintained her health transformation by consistently using multiple strategies: regular weigh-ins, meal planning, workout scheduling, calorie tracking, and temptation management techniques. Similarly, I've successfully maintained changes using these strategies, finding maintenance easier than initiation once the right approach is established. When obstacles shift, your approach must adapt too. Sometimes goals need recalibration. If the gym isn't working, perhaps walking, basketball, or home workouts might better suit you. Finding tailored goals matching your strengths makes success more likely. With consistent application of customized solutions to your specific obstacles, evidence shows lasting change is possible. The science of behavior change isn't about finding a single magic bullet, but about developing a personalized toolkit of strategies that address your unique challenges. By understanding the specific obstacles that stand in your way, whether they're related to timing, impulsivity, procrastination, forgetfulness, laziness, confidence, or social influence, you can apply targeted solutions that make change not just possible, but sustainable. Remember that change isn't something you accomplish once and forget about. It's an ongoing process that requires attention and adjustment as circumstances evolve. But with the right strategies in place, you can transform your life one small change at a time, building momentum toward the person you aspire to become.